We want attendees to come and, you know, close your eyes and imagine you're eating food from a local food truck. You just finished walking around the artist merchant area and you're sitting down, you're listening to music, your family may be around you, and you're like, wow, this is home. This is why I live here. These are all the great things about this region.
Thanks for joining us on Louisiana's Playground Podcast, your roadmap to all things Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm Brady Raynard.
And I'm Catherine Shea Duncan, and we're excited to bring you the authentic stories and experiences of Southwest Louisiana with all the tools you need to build your own personal Lake Charles itinerary.
KSD pinch hitting today for Jillian. Thanks for filling in to hear on the show. Episode 40, Homefest, is the talking point today as we talk to Lauren Olson, who's the president of their board. And I'm really excited about this conversation because if Lake Charles does one thing well, it's musical festivals, right?
Absolutely.
And I mean, we highlighted it in our previous special episode. And so this one will go really in depth with one that I thought had a huge 2023, which means it's now just a beautiful stepping point for 2024.
Absolutely. I'm excited.
All right. Well, let's get the show started as we always do with a little taste of Southwest Louisiana, a segment we call On the Eats.
On the Eats brings us to the James 710, which is a newer restaurant in Lake Charles, in downtown Lake Charles, owned and operated by Ben Herrera, who also owns 121 Artisan Bistro and Restaurant Cala. But the James 710 is really special because it's named after Ben's grandfather and really pays homage to his familial ties and the culinary heritage of Southwest Louisiana.
Yeah, and Ben is a professional chef. In an earlier life, you know, now he's obviously more in the owning and operating aspect of it. And look, we've already highlighted 121 Artisan Bistro and their amazing bread that they open with. So everything else after that is still really good, but that bread kind of sells the show. Anyway, so this comes from a long, successful line of restaurants in his name. And obviously this one kind of lives up to the building. They went with a really fresh and modern atmosphere on the interior. And I think the food is really interesting too, because they wanted it to have some definitely kind of Mexican food theme, but it's certainly not a Mexican restaurant by any stretch of the imagination. And in fact, they offer plenty of like health conscious options and some like indulgent delights. So what I mean is, like, yes, they've got the salads and the lettuce wraps and that kind of thing that they go really heavy on and trying to give you a fresh take on those. But also there's like ribeye sandwiches and burgers and, you know, my kind of food.
Yeah. And they love to prioritize locally sourced ingredients by supporting nearby farms and artisans like JT Seafood and Lynn's Living Food. There are so many things that I love to get over there, from their beet hummus to their cocktails. I mean, it's honestly my go-to for most nights when I don't know what I want to eat.
And look, you mentioned their cocktails. Their bar is stocked. They've got a huge selection of like wine, cocktails, and spirits. And they're all unique in terms of how they create them and serve them there in the restaurant. And so that's something that they take obviously a lot of pride in as well. You'll also sometimes go maybe live music and they have brunch options. So this is a place that ultimately is like a hangout spot where you're getting a really great meal. It's kind of how they want to pitch that. Yeah, for sure. Well, let's open it up with the appetizer we had. We decided to go with really probably their most popular one, the guac and trash. And this thing is a smorgasbord of options. I'm talking, so there's the black corn tortilla chips. There's chorizo hash with coconut rice, pico de gallo, roasted salsa. And then, you know, it's garnished with stuff like cilantro and lime. And then you can get brisket for an upcharge, which of course we did.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if you get an option for brisket, you're going to take the option for brisket, right? And all of it plays on each other in terms of which taste and senses each of them kind of hit.
Yeah. And you can really pick and choose, like, you know, for one of the bites I had, you know, I did the chip with the salsa and the brisket. And then I would have sometimes just the guacamole with the pico de gallo. I mean, fresh pico de gallo, salsa, cilantro, and lime. So good. It really balances everything out.
And then the carb punch, right? The rice and potato hash mixture on a chip. You're getting it. You know, the food pyramid? Well, if you then pyramided the carbohydrate one at the bottom, that's all of the food pyramid carbohydrates there too. And they're all really good. And you end up eating the hash both with the tortilla chip, and then I was spooning it into my mouth with a spoon by the end of it. It's all so good, you know, and ultimately the guacamole is what catches your eye the most of it.
Yeah, I really love that like fresh ingredient portion of the guac and trash board. I guess that's what we're going to call it. But that guacamole with the pico de gallo and the cilantro, and then they have a chili oil for spice. I mean, it really just adds brightness and authenticity to the guac and trash board.
If you know me by now, you know I'll highlight the chips when they're really good. Their black corn tortilla chips are really something. So they fry them to order, so they're not done until you order them. Awesome, awesome tortilla chips. I can't really suggest the appetizer enough for what it kind of brings to the table.
Yeah, if you're looking to do just like a Friday after work with you and a friend, this is the perfect thing to get with a few cocktails, and you'll have a great Friday afternoon.
For sure. And then moving on to the entree portion, we both kind of went different ways. Kat Shea here went more the lighter fare, as they call it, even though when this thing brings out, there's nothing light about the tuna stack.
No, This tuna stack has all the ingredients I really love in like a sushi roll or really any kind of like Asian style meal. So it has the seared and marinated ahi tuna, the coconut rice, avocado, cucumber, pineapple, arugula, and a sriracha mayo and chili oil. And starts off with that mound of coconut rice at the bottom, giving it a really creamy and lightly sweet contrast. And then they have the fresh cucumber slices that add a refreshing crunch, plus the creamy avocado, and then the diced pineapples that really add a good burst of tropical sweetness. And then, of course, the delicious seared and marinated ahi tuna. And then I would just take that and dip it into the sriracha mayo and chili oil. And then I also added a side of wonton crisps.
Because, of course, you did not have enough carbs.
No.
With the appetizer.
I surely did not. But they came out, they were very crispy and very fresh. And I ended up just like actually not being able to finish my whole meal because it was a good bit of food, and had it for dinner that night, and it was still delicious. They even had like a really pretty edible flower on it.
Yeah, I mean, presentation-wise, it was beautiful, mm-hmm. right? It was one of those, Jill and I talk about it all the time, you feel guilty starting to eat it, right? Because you're like, oh no, I'm ruining art. Mm-hmm. Because in a way, this kind of food is a bit of art. And so, yeah, it looked really, really good. I went with more of a heavy meal, because of course I did. The carnitas. It's pork on the bone, and they serve it with red onions, radish, cilantro, pineapple, Caribbean rice, and then a few flour tortillas there on the side. And the pork shank, it's really stands out, obviously, if you're going to get this. So they confit it, which means they cook it in oil or fat, and they do it at a lower temperature than what you would see in a deep fry, and that really allows it to cook in the way that pork shines, right? Think of it like in a slow cooker. You put your pork in the slow cooker, it's so tender, you know, anytime that you cook it that way. And this pork was just like that, and it was so fatty in the perfect way where when you cut it, it all mixes together, the fats and the rest of the meat, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful piece of pork. They season it with garlic, and then the Korean chili flakes are all over the dish. You can see them, and they are perfect. They had a little heat to it, but also a ton of flavor from them. And then the kicker that really makes it sweet, the cinnamon.
Yeah.
And it really does. It pops. That cinnamon makes it pop and gives it just that hint of sweetness that makes it taste different than any other pork you've ever had.
Yeah, it was delicious. I had a little bit of his meal, and wow, I can say the first thing that I thought was, this cinnamon really adds something to this dish.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And so they finish it up and they throw it in a hot cast iron with some pineapple there to kind of get a little sweetness infused in that pineapple, and then back to the pork as well. And the bark ultimately is so crispy, and it's the whole thing's so moist. I mean, it's just really, really good, and the pineapples are perfect on it. Then you put it on the taco with some of that Caribbean rice, and the pineapple really shines at that point. The pork blends with it, and then the very, very buttery, buttery rice that is so perfect with all of it, and it ends up being great tacos that you realize it didn't even need sauce. these tacos are sauceless, but they don't need it because that's where the pineapple comes in and really adds the sweetness. And it really is just a beautiful blend of textures and flavors that's going to be hard to beat.
The James 710 is really one of those restaurants that's perfect for lunch, or I've done it. I've had dinner there right before a concert at Golden Nugget or L'Auberge. It's great for like graduation party or just a night out. And it's perfectly located right off I-10. I mean, it's downtown, just two blocks or so from Shell Beach Drive. And you can enjoy your evening on the patio. It's climate controlled. So if it's hot or cold, you'll be perfectly fine and enjoying the weather out on their patio. And then, of course, don't forget to try their cocktails or delicious desserts. But let us know what you think.
From a great meal to a great guest, we welcome on Lauren Olson with This Is Home Fest. An engineer by trade, the New Orleans native has a passion for community engagement and celebrating local talent. And after attending Home Fest in 2021, she was inspired to join the board and now proudly serves as president. Welcome to the show, Lauren.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Lake Charles in southwest Louisiana is known for our big city amenities and small town charm, which makes for a variety of experiences that one can add to their itinerary, from types of food to outdoor adventures and national and regional entertainment that the lake area draws. But before we get started, we like to ask each guest a few questions to let our listeners know you better and how you play in Louisiana's playground. Are you ready?
I am.
This one's a tough one. Crawfish or gumbo?
So while I love crawfish, there's no in between. I either eat it till I get miserable or I have to not eat at all. So I actually had to give up crawfish a few years ago. So I am team gumbo.
It sounds like you're like a recovering addict, a crawfish addict.
I mean, I love crawfish, but you know, you get going and you start peeling them. Sure. And next thing you know, you can't take your shoes off or your rings off. Yep. So I love gumbo.
The sodium hits hard.
So what kind of gumbo though?
Chicken and sausage, or turkey and sausage.
Interesting.
Gumbo.
So from the North Shore, but chicken and sausage, the country gumbo, if you will, is your favorite.
Yes. I don't like the mystery of seafood gumbo.
Interesting.
Sometimes you get some random seafood in there, like an oyster.
Yeah, that's delicious. No. I had seafood gumbo today for lunch. It's delicious.
See, and I think gumbo, like the beginning of fall, that first cold day, nothing. Like,
it just hits different.
Yes. Big gumbo fan.
Okay, and now poolside or beachside?
So I love the beach, but I love a pool at the beach. So whenever you're at the beach and you want to like get in the water, you always get beat up by the waves and it just kind of ruins the vibe. So I love, you know, like a infinity pool that looks out at the beach. You can get in the pool to cool off, but you get the view of a beach. Yeah. Best of both worlds.
I was about to say, yeah, the best of both worlds. That's the Hannah Montana special. So,
oh my goodness. Concert or comedy show?
I mean, obviously, I'm here for This Is Home Fest, so I have to say concert, right?
I mean, you're not legally obligated to say it.
Yeah, no, I'm a huge concert fan, especially after COVID, you know, missing those years of live entertainment. Going back, I feel like we've been on such a concert kick. My husband and I have been traveling around, seeing some of our favorite musicians post-COVID.
Yeah, what's some of your favorite shows that stick out?
We went to Elton John. And his farewell tour. And then we also just went and saw Billy Joel in Madison Square Garden. And both those are kind of like oldie classics.
Yeah.
But they're on the way out. And they just, you know, Billy Joel just announced he's finishing his residency at Madison Square Garden. So that was a cool experience.
Wow. I got to see both of them before they were finished.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a once in a lifetime experience. That's really cool.
Yeah, both of those are awesome. So let's then pivot. I think, you know, finishing with a concert question is the perfect pivot into talking about the music festival that is This Is Home Fest. At the end of the day, what inspired the team? Because you weren't there from day one. What really inspired this team to create a festival?
So our festival's been around since fall of 2021. And as y'all remember, fall of 2021, Lake Charles looked a little bit different. We were kind of suffering from whiplash from the back-to-back natural disasters. So when they founded this festival, they realized and recognized the need for us to improve the quality of life in southwest Louisiana and give the residents here a reason to remember why this is home. So that's the whole reason for the name, to showcase our culture and the spirit of southwest Louisiana and just really give everyone that warm and fuzzy.
Ultimately, the experience, you know, that's the buzzword, the keyword for any type of festival that's kind of happening. What is the experience that you guys try to create for the attendees?
It all comes back again to the name. We want attendees to come and, you know, close your eyes and imagine you're sitting down, you're eating food from a local food truck. You just finished walking around the artist merchant area and you're sitting down, you're listening to music. Your family may be around you and you're like, wow, this is home. This is why I live here. These are all the great things about this region and this area.
I couldn't agree more. And y'all do a very good job at doing just that. I remember last year standing on top of the hill at the amphitheater and looking out at the crowd and being like, I feel so much pride and joy saying that I live in Lake Charles because of this festival.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, the way that I kind of described it is that I've never seen Lake Charles look the way that it did in that moment for me. It was that same kind of realization. And I thought that was such a cool moment to hear that those moments exist in the eyes of people that went. What does that mean to you?
I mean, that's the whole reason we do it, right? You want people to feel that. And then you also want people to tell their friends and family who live in town, out of town, and make it a whole experience. Hey, come visit me. Come to This Is Home Fest. I want to show you my hometown and have that hometown pride.
Why do you think music just sounds so dang good there on the lakefront? It does, right? Like, you just look, it's the atmosphere. It just sounds so good. It's like it's like a puzzle piece.
And the background. Oh.
Yeah, it's like quintessential Lake Charles. You have, you know, the sunset, you're looking at the water. You know, also when you think music festival, you think of like grassy fields, laying out, picnicking. And the lakefront's a great place to do it. Here in Lake Charles, we have, you know, all of that grass to make your little campsite.
Yeah. And so when did the This Is Home Fest team look at the festival and think, this is exactly what we envisioned?
So like y'all talked about, y'all came last year. Last year we had Samantha Fish as a headliner, and that was a big win for us. When we're looking for musical talent, we're trying to do something different with these musicians, trying to get these big names. And we got Samantha Fish, and after we announced her, Jazz Fest and French Quarter Fest in New Orleans announced that they were having her as well. So that was a big win for us to get her and bring that different experience to Lake Charles.
What are some of the biggest challenges when creating and organizing a music festival that's the size of This Is Home Fest?
So yes, it's a very big festival, and also it's free. So in order to do a festival of that size and having it free of charge to the public, we couldn't do it without our sponsors. We're very fortunate. Lake Charles Toyota joined us from day one to be our title sponsor, and as well as all the other sponsors we have that help us put on this festival for free to the public. Doing a festival this big, there's so many different aspects of it. So we have all the food trucks you have to get on board, the artists for the artist merchant area, as well as the musicians. You end up touching like every corner of Lake Charles mm-hmm. by the end of this. So in order to get the word out, that's one of the biggest challenges, to reach everyone.
In terms of musical acts, you know, you kind of mentioned curating those. How is that process going? I think it's interesting how you guys have it kind of formatted, right? You have a local stage that's very like Zydeco heavy, mm-hmm. and then you have more of a region/statewide stage.
Correct. So yes, one, our Good Day Farm stage, that is our regional Zydeco acts. Southwest Louisiana, we love Zydeco music. Everyone loves to dance and just have a good time at Zydeco. So we wanted to make sure we always maintain that aspect of our festival, just because
it's home.
Right. I know. Keep wanting to say that. But then, yes, our second stage does have those regional acts that otherwise people would have to travel out of town to go see, or pay tickets, or do both. And bringing those artists to Lake Charles, exposing residents to different music genres or just different musicians that they wouldn't otherwise hear. It's all part about raising their cultural awareness. And that's our goal for the music.
Is there a bit of scouting that kind of goes in? Because that must be a real tough job to have to go on the road. Hold on, guys. We're having to go to another concert to go see if there's any potential clients here.
Well, so that's what's really cool about our festival is the weekend. It's strategic. So French Quarter Fest is in New Orleans the weekend before our festival. After our festival is the Festival International in Lafayette, and then Jazz Fest in New Orleans. So it's kind of a dead weekend, our festival. So we're able to get artists that, you know, are playing the weekend before or the weekend after, and they don't have anything in their schedule. So that helps. We can kind of look at those lineups and see who they're going to play and who's looking for a, a show our weekend.
Sure.
And then also, there's so many musicians that kind of travel together. So three of our bands are actually going up to Virginia and later in the summer, later in August. But it's cool because they're coming here first as a group.
That's awesome.
Yeah, some of these on the Dunham Price stage, such as Big Sam's and Maggie, they're both playing at Jazz Fest or French Quarter Fest, correct?
Correct, yes. And so is Bon Bon Vivant.
Yeah, to have, I mean...
That's a tough one to say.
I know.
Why I skipped it.
I've had to practice a bunch.
I was nervous.
But, I mean, that's to say that we're going to have those three and all of the other acts, honestly, in Lake Charles on this one day is incredible. It's not easy to do, and this is, you know, a large festival, but y'all are bringing some really impressive acts.
And that's the whole goal. I mean, you know, everyone talks about, why don't we have this in Lake Charles? I wish Lake Charles did this. And that's what we're doing, is we're bringing something different that hasn't been done before. And, you know, there's so many events you go to in Lake Charles where it's the same bands. And while those bands are great, we wanted to do something different.
Yep. And it's free and it's accessible and open to the public. And that's also another great point. Adds so much value to the festival.
Speaking of those artists, are there any that's on your wish list as a board that you guys circle and say, like, we've got to get this person here at some point to headline this festival?
I mean, the obvious answer is Taylor Swift, right? I mean, if we could bring Taylor
Swift. Is that the obvious answer?
I don't know. I feel like if Taylor Swift came to Lake Charles, that'd be a huge deal, right?
Sure, sure.
But I think looking regionally, if we could get someone like Trombone Shorty. I grew up in New Orleans, so I love big brass bands and just that live music with all the horns. I feel like that's such a good festival vibe. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see Trombone Shorty here one day.
So either Trombone Shorty or Taylor Swift.
That's a tough call.
Either one. Beyond the music, what other things can festival goers experience?
So we have a bunch of food trucks, local restaurants, regional restaurants we're bringing in. You can get kind of that taste of Southwest Louisiana, trying a little bit of food at every food truck. We have a bunch of artists, local artists, handcraft goods you can go and purchase. And it's great because they'll all be set up along the waterfront. So you can kind of take a step away from the music and get that shopping experience there. We also have This Is Home Fest merchandise. I'm really excited about some of the stuff we have this year. We have blankets. So if you forgot your blanket, you can go purchase a branded blanket.
That's smart. I love it.
Go hang out on the hill. And other than that, you know, we have our kid zone. So with This Is Home Fest, we want to make sure it's family friendly. Lake Charles, Southwest Louisiana is a family friendly area. And so we have the whole kid zone for you to bring your kids and make it a family day.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the kid zone and what options y'all have available?
So yes, first of all, we have Millennium Park. So it's right there. All of the playground equipment there, the splash pad, all of that's already there for us to use.
Sure.
And we're able to just highlight upon that. So we've added a petting zoo. We'll have donkeys and chickens and goats. And it's we brought it last year and it was such a hit. We actually doubled the size of the petting zoo this year.
How many music festivals have petting zoo attachments?
You know, I don't know that exact stat, but I wouldn't say many, but it's great because honestly, the petting zoo, there's equal adults there as well as kids. You know, there's something about, I don't know, playing with a goat.
That sounds really enticing. I think I might be there.
So yeah, the petting zoo, it is a huge hit. We're glad to have them back. We also have a whole toddler area. So not every kid's large enough to go down the slide. We have this soft play area with a ball pit and toddler size bounce houses to kind of make it more family friendly, more inclusive for all ages. And we have that area just for toddlers.
I've got two. So they're definitely so they're going to be very critical of the toddler. And I'm sure they're going to love it, though.
It's a huge hit. And to go along with that whole making sure our festival is family friendly.
Sure.
We're excited to partner with West Calcam Hospital. They're bringing a mother's area to the festival. You know, we're doing something different in Lake Charles, but we're not the first people to do a music festival. So we looked at other music festivals in our area and what they have and what we could bring to ours. We realized it's making a mother's inclusive area, something that other festivals are starting to bring. So we wanted to make sure to add that to our festival. So we will have a changing table so you can you know, change diapers at the festival. You don't have to go in a porta potty or, you know, off into your car to do that. We also have nursing pods or pumping stations if you do need to go do that at the festival.
That's awesome. I think it's really thoughtful to kind of give those options for those mothers that are kind of in that boat. We're finally, Jillian and I are finally out of that territory, but you know, we were in it for a while, for about 4 years straight, it felt like. So those options like that, I think, will be, you know, heavily used for those that obviously kind of need them. Now, with that, speaking of being thoughtful, I know you guys wanted to continue finding a way to give back in different ways, right? And so you guys just created a scholarship as well. Do you have kind of an elevator pitch for what you guys are doing there?
Yes. So we wanted to make sure that the impact of our festival was greater than just one day. So we worked with our local law firm, Johnson Law Firm, and they are partnering with us to create this scholarship. It's not only for music students. It's also art, visual arts, performing arts students who are major or minoring in that field. I'm an engineer. People are so generous with STEM scholarships. I had no idea how limited scholarships there were for music and the arts. And so by us creating the scholarship, we're able to reinvest in the future of, you know, artists that would sell at our festival one day or musicians that would perform. And it's really a big full circle moment for us to be able to reinvest in our community.
For sure. I mean, there will be a time that someone says, you know, I got my scholarship here, and so I want to be back and give back to this festival. Being in that spot one day would be such a cool moment, I'm sure, for all of you there. And then for them, knowing that that's kind of where it helped them get their start going to school.
That's the whole plan, right?
Yeah.
So if someone was coming to the festival for the first time, what would you give to them as like first timers advice, the best way to maximize their time at the festival?
So we have a VIP experience, and that's what I would do for the first time, just to kind of everything's planned out for you. You don't have to think. It's all done. So with the VIP experience, you start out, we have a brunch at Panorama. You can go get some food before you start your day, come to VIP, and it is an exclusive area just for our VIPs. You have an exclusive viewing of the stage, so you don't have to get out there early and, you know, stake your spot. We'll have furniture for you as well, so you don't have to bring a chair. And what's great about VIP, with the exclusive aspect, and also we'll have some food there from local restaurateur Ben Herrera. He'll bring some food from his three restaurants, so James 710, Cala, and 121. Should be able to get that. As well as in our VIP, we're going to have craft cocktails just for the VIP guest, and 1910 is going to be providing that.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I think VIP is what I would do for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, last year I was able to eat some of that, and it was very, very good. I think I ate that and crawfish. I double dipped.
Yes. You know,
shocker that I would be finding a way to eat everything that's there.
You know, we will have crawfish again at this year's festival. We had it last year, and that's such a, you know, huge hit on a great spring day, right?
It's perfect. Even during these economically challenging crawfish times.
Yes. Just don't overeat on crawfish.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll swell up like a balloon and then you'll have to give it up forever, which is, I can't believe that. Well, look, final question from me. The future of this event, it seems like each year you guys kind of add a little bit more. Where do you see the future of this event going?
I see us reinvesting in this talent. So as you said, you know, we talked about, we bring different talent, top talent. You know, every year we hope to get bigger and bigger artists and bigger crowds. And that's what I'm excited to see, you know, who will be headlining next year, but who will be headlining in 10 years, because every year the talent we bring, it's exciting, you know, as we do our lineup drop, the hype that each festival brings.
Thanks again to Lauren for joining us on the show. And thank you, yes, you, for taking time out of your day to join us on the podcast. If you enjoyed, please follow our podcast. Press that little plus button. It's the follow button. They kind of change the terminology, Catherine, all the time. But I think it's follow now. Follow the podcast. Please leave us a rating or a review. We'll really appreciate it.
So it'll help us grow our audience and further share the unique experiences Lake Charles and Southwest Louisiana has to offer. Go to visitlakecharles.org/podcast for more episodes, where to eat, and events happening this weekend. I'm Catherine Shea Duncan.
Thanks for filling in. And I'm Brady Raynard. Thanks again for coming to play at Louisiana's Playground. See you.